They said it couldn't be done. 40 episodes. Right now,
we made it to 40.
Wow. How you feel about that?
Old.
I know.
Wow. 40.
40. Wow. My back hurts already. Dude, 40th episode. Welcome 40. To the Heights Unedited Podcast, a podcast featuring real conversations about real life where we dig deeper into the weekend message as well as answering your questions on faith, culture, and life. And I got my name tag on today.
You got your name tag. It's official.
It's official.
It's official. It's going to be a good episode because you're official.
We're out here for the 40th.
You're out here.
I don't know who they are, but they said we couldn't do it.
Do you think you would wear your name tag? Like, what context would you find yourself wearing your name tag? Like, coaching, would you wear your name tag?
Mostly just podcast recording.
Like, I'm just curious if you, like, what are the levels?
I really do want to wear it to Target one day, though.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and just wear a red polo.
I wonder if they'd be like, you can't do that.
I wonder if they'd even know. Hey, I'm new. I just transferred from the
Doesn't our Target have that safety guy at the front? Then they have a...
He doesn't know who I am.
He might.
It says bald eagle, bro. I could just walk in like nobody's going to do anything.
It says bald eagle. Yeah, put some respect on my name.
I'm just saying.
I was just curious. Like, is there like, you know, so let's say you would wear it's coaching. Well, like, where does that stop? Like a memorial? That's probably too far.
That might be a little too far.
Although, if you're a good Mormon, stopped by my house the other day and they got theirs on there.
Yeah, I know.
So, no.
I know.
Maybe you go to the Mormon church with your name tag.
With my Target name tag. Yeah. That'd be incredible. For some reason, I think they'd be thinking I'm making fun of them. I don't know.
Probs.
I do want to thank all of our viewers and listeners, though, for making it 40 episodes where we talk about ridiculous things. Like
week 40, we hit this. This is what you get.
We do have some reviews, though, and I've been asking for the... We've been asking those for, I mean, since day
it's
one.
It's been a hot minute.
For 40 weeks.
Okay, but I did get a review.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a picture. Remember the picture I sent you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So let me pull it up real quick. It was on a delivery that came to my house.
Yep.
So the delivery guy
it's the best to deliver a review.
So it says, tell Todd that PJ is not working. 5 stars with 5 stars drawn on my delivery box.
Yes, there it is.
I mean, it's just, it doesn't get any better.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So whoever my delivery person is, I don't know who they are, but whoever they are, you're the best.
That's amazing. Love that. That is a unconventional way to deliver a review for us, but we got 5 stars We'll count it. We did get a traditional way that we get from our Apple Podcast stores coming in from the Church Relic, and they said why they get 5 stars. They've been a podcast. I've been a podcast fan since the beginning.
I thought originally I was like, why they get five?
Why
like,
they get five?
They're not worth five. Why do they get five? But it's
why they get them. Yeah, here's why. Here's the explanation.
I like that.
They say, I've been a podcast fan since the beginning. Although I'm not a sports fan, I find their banter amusing.
Oh,
see?
Okay.
There we go. There
Somebody
we go.
Likes us.
But the real reason I give them 5 stars is this. No matter the question or what it might pertain to, John and Todd always turn it back to scripture, to God, to the heart. I've heard them field some pretty difficult subjects, but they never waver. Never. It's all about God, his love, and how he wants to work in our lives. Definitely worth every star.
Wow.
Feels good.
Feels so good.
Feels good. Thank you so much, Church Relic, for that. Very nice words, kind words. If you would like to leave us a review, you can do that through the Apple Podcast Store, and we would like to read that on the show. But we also
smash that like button.
As John would like to say,
if you're on YouTube, smash that like button.
John, you know, we have a unofficial sponsor of the show.
Yeah.
Oreo, our unofficial official sponsor.
I thought it was Target for the longest time.
Well, no, I mean, you just have a Target employee here. What might be, I don't know where these Oreo products are coming from. They might be coming from Target.
They could be coming from Target. Target's like on the side, like. Send them some more sugar.
That's where it could be coming from right now.
So So we have something?
But we got an Oreo product coming in.
What?
Yeah. A longtime friend of the show, Miss Lynn. She's dropped off some stuff for us.
Miss Lynn.
Here we go.
Oh, you have it. I thought you were like.
Oh, no. Here we go. Right now, I'm going to unwrap it. Doesn't necessarily need the cup, but I figured
Oreo
if it melts, you know.
Mini bars.
Oreo mini bars.
Oreo mini bars.
Ice cream bar.
I didn't know they made ice cream. I'm going
to
be honest.
Well, they do, and we get to test it on the show because that's what we do here.
It's a mini bar.
It's very, I like the, it's very, like, makes you feel not guilty about
it reminds nice me of the, what's the, is it the Dove?
Oh, yeah, Dove bar? Yeah.
The, is it Magnum? Is that what they're? Anyways, we have Oreo bars.
We got Oreo ones.
Okay, so are we both going to try it at the same time? Because then we can't talk.
Yeah, we
got to
give it a little, like, you got to go first. Ready? I gave it that. That's what you get right now.
Okay, here we go.
All right, John's going first. Once he gives us his review or his thoughts on it, then I'm going to have to take a bite.
Tastes like an Oreo.
In ice cream form.
In ice cream form.
All right, let me see.
Yeah. You got that chocolatey outside. That tastes like a cookie on the outside. Like it's got the crumbly cookie feel to it, but the inside tastes just like the Oreo cream.
It really does.
It really does. Feels like an Oreo.
It's just like they froze an Oreo for us.
It's a frozen Oreo on a stick.
It's a frozen Oreo on a stick. But like I said, the size of this thing really does make you not feel guilty. Cause I think in like 3 bites, I could have this thing done.
Mm-hmm.
Which I might need.
I'm taking another bite.
Yeah, you're going for all 3 bites right now on the air.
Why not?
I gotta go. I gotta get one more bite in. Because the first
my
one,
delivery guy needs one of these.
Yeah, I mean he's a fan of the show.
Or it might be a delivery lady. I don't know who's driving that truck. Okay, if you notice that, speaking of delivery people, like sometimes you get a white van, just pulls up, sling the door open on the side, and they got packages they're delivering. Sometimes it's the full, like version of UPS.
Yeah.
But
I know.
Did you eat it?
I had a couple bites. I'm not gonna eat the whole thing.
All right.
You know, well, we got a show to film here.
Yep.
Okay. Well, while he just downs the whole thing right here. We do have some questions that we're gonna hop into, and we're gonna hop into those in a second. While John's chewing,
we got something from Lynn.
Oh yeah, thanks for the Oreo products there. Unofficial sponsor, through our people, really.
So good.
So good. Thank you. Appreciate that. Another product review down. Woo! This show has turned into
5 stars to the Oreo mini bar.
We got Oreo product reviews. We got sports takes.
I would smash the like button for the Oreo mini bar.
Just for those. But we also
what do you think?
Have some content.
You give it 5?
I would. Yeah. It really tastes like an Oreo on a stick.
It's a frozen Oreo.
Frozen Oreo on a stick. It's good. Questions. We actually got to get to some real content here, John. You're like,
I don't know. It's the 40th episode.
40th episode. We do what we want. We got a question coming in from Anthony. Anthony says this is where it gets a little. We're taking a big turn in the show right now. From like slinging Oreos and having a good time. Now it gets pretty heavy.
From frozen Oreos on a stick to here we go.
Here we go. Anthony asked this. Ezekiel 7:27 says, God will judge people by their own standards. Could this mean that if someone adds extra requirements to salvation, like works, traditions, or denominational rules, those additions might become the standard they're judged by?
I feel like you should maybe just break into one of your Galatians messages from early on in Galatians right now.
Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That's all we got to say.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think what's interesting is this, it's actually a great opportunity, I feel like, because Ezekiel is obviously a clear part of the Bible. Like in the Bible, biblical narrative, it falls into a very succinct spot, right? Mm-hmm. And so you've got different books that are written for different reasons, and his specifically is written, and it's prophetic, right? Like he's hey, this has happened. Here's what's going to happen.
Yep.
And in this particular part, if I'm remembering right, like it's at a place where judgment is being given.
Yes.
So there has been a conduct, I think it's in chapter 6, there's conduct that's called out, and it's has to do with idolatry, the high altars, and God's going to tear all those down. Well, then he goes into this chapter, and it's just like Jerusalem's going to fall. Like, it's just like Judah's going to fall. It's all inclusive of the end is coming, right? And so this verse then is, you know, on the heels of that, it's essentially saying because of your conduct. So context is that's what's happening within the book itself, but within the context of scripture where it falls, you're inside of a covenant that was an agreement between God and Israel.
Yes.
That, hey, well, God's going to do his part, but it means you got to do your part, right? Like, if you do this, you will be blessed. If you don't, there will be punishment.
Yep.
And so God's rewarding them according to the covenant, to the kind of standard of conduct that they agreed to that they haven't upheld. And so God's going, I'm going to judge you by that, right? So that's the Ezekiel piece that I feel like is important to understand, that that verse isn't something we can just carry into a salvation conversation, because yes, it wasn't a salvation conversation or context that was happening.
Right. What's happening here, the phrase specifically, by their own standards, it doesn't mean God kind of abandons his standards.
Right.
But what it means is that he is exposing their hypocrisy of the people.
Yeah.
He's exposing the people who lived in this corrupt manner, in this way that was rebelling and idolatry and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. He's exposing them. And because he's doing that, he's saying, all right, they're going to be caught and condemned by the same truth that they twisted, by the same, that's what he's saying. He's not saying my standards are changing to their standards when he says by their own standards. He's saying, like, you know, hey, that their truth is being twisted. They twisted the truth. Let's hold them accountable to that. They're hypocrites.
Yeah. Well, in which it was still carrying on even when Jesus shows up, right? Like that's a lot of the conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees is you're not even upholding your own standards, right? Like you're saying one thing to the people and then you're doing something else.
Yeah, you're whitewashed tombs.
Yeah.
And well, and that's where I would say, like, you know, if you take this into the salvation conversation.
Yeah.
So if someone insists on their own standards, whether it's a religious position or works, or you have to do X, Y, and Z, that they're adding to the gospel, right? If we're taking it to that standard of salvation, what they're being judged by is the same thing that everyone's being judged by. But if that's what they believe, then they miss it, right? Yeah. They're being judged by the fact, did Jesus pay the price for your sins?
Yeah.
But if you're saying, no, I did this, this, and this, and you're being judged by that.
Yeah.
You know, so Jesus is, God's standards do not change.
Yeah.
However, if you've decided to go by something else, you're going to be judged by that.
Yeah. And I think that's the clearest part. I love how you said that, because it's what I believe, and it's always been what I believe, right? Because what I truly believe, I'm going to put my trust in. Mm-hmm. If we take the language from the weekend, it's what I'm going to put my courage to have action in, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's where my faith is going to reside, is what is actually core and central I'm going to live out. And so I think in this context, like, God will hold you if you're trusting and believing in something else other than Jesus, whether that comes through a denomination, whether that comes through, and that's opposed to Jesus plus nothing, right? Like, you're putting something in that gap.
Right.
Well, it's you're going to be held accountable to that, right? Like, Paul could not be clearer in Galatians of, like, hey, you guys, you're missing it.
Right.
And I'm going to say it as strongly as I can.
Yeah.
He didn't hold anything back. So yeah, I would agree with you that those extra requirements to salvation, anytime you add anything to the gospel, you've lost the gospel.
Yes. So there's a follow-up from Anthony when it comes to this question and this line that we're going down here. And his follow-up from Anthony says this is, how does this apply to people who never had the opportunity to know Jesus, like unreached tribes, infants, or those misled by false teaching? Can they still be saved?
That's just a light. That's just a small.
Yeah, another little tiny one to cover here.
That's a tiny question. I think all three of those categories are vastly different. I used to work in the unreached tribal group, like the missionary organization we were with. That's who they were trying to reach, is groups that had some groups had never even had any outside contact, let alone anything of the Bible translated, et cetera. So within that realm, It's just interesting to me because if you would have asked me 20 years ago, I would have been extremely dogmatic. I would have stood so strongly on absolutely, like, you know, taking the Romans line of how can they believe if they haven't heard. I would have preached that. I would have, and it's not that I backed away from that. It's for me personally, it's I'm not God. And I'm not going to put an exclamation point on somebody's salvation. Like, that's God's business. What I see and what I know is people need Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, I would say in my 20s, what I held to is me showing up, like, I got to go. Like, I had this burden that we have to burn the church and everybody's just got to go, right? Like, why are we still sitting here? And we got to go do this. Everybody's got to go to a tribe. And the problem with that is it puts the onus on we're sending people to hell. We're doing this, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're accountable for it. That's how it felt. Like this huge weight of accountability is on my shoulders for people in jungles that, and even if I went, I can only get to one, right?
Yeah.
And so I just think it's interesting how we shift the gospel to us and we shift the weight of salvation on us. And then you begin to look at, we limit what God can do, right? Like, right. So, you know, there's different, in that context specifically, there's different kinds of revelation that happens. Like there's, you know, you've got your, like nature, general revelation. Is what
so
they call
revelation
it, right?
Referring to how God reveals himself,
yeah.
Not the book of Revelation, how God reveals himself to humanity. Yeah,
so nature, right? Yes. Like, so Romans talks about how nature declares, right? Like, and even says people are without like the ability to say, I never knew, because God goes, I put it in front of you. It's all over nature that there is a creator God, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's general revelation that we find. Psalms even refers to that. And then you have this special revelation that happens. And special revelation is, it's something outside of the, what would be nature, general conscious. It's something breaking through. So stories from missionaries of people that are unreached and writing appears on the wall, mm-hmm. right? Like that's a special revelation from God. You go to scripture to support this. The apostle Paul is going along a road and the resurrected Jesus shows up.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and so within that, we don't know what God has done and we don't know what God is doing. We do know that salvation comes by the person of Jesus.
Yes.
And so that's where we hang our hat, right? Like now how God works that out in eternity, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like I don't have a claim to know who God has reached and who he hasn't and what nature has done and what nature hasn't. And what's fascinating is even in the unreached tribal group world, there's so many stories that they have, like a flood story, that the narrative is slightly different, right? Like you've got all these different, and missionaries have written books on it. Like they showed up and the gospel is actually already bridged to be there.
Yeah.
And so all they do is use the bridge to go, it's Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And so there's just so much to it that I think a cut and dry of okay, if they don't have Jesus, then, well, that's putting it back on us to go, it's only by us that that can happen. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to have a fire and we need to reach the world.
Yeah.
However, to put it solely on the shoulders of humanity, salvation is God's business, right? And revelation of who he is and how that is God's business. And yes, he's left the church a job to do. So anyways, it's a really long...
And I think getting down to specifically his quote at the very end, he says, can they still be saved? We have to remain firm on what salvation is. Can they be saved? Well, have they believed that Jesus died for their sins? I mean, that's how you're saved.
Right.
There's only one way to the Father, and it's through me. That's what Jesus said. And so, yes, that's there. Now, these three categories that are
They're so different.
You know, if you get into unreached tribes, you just talked about that.
Right.
If you get into infants, now we're getting into age of accountability, and mm-hmm. that I don't know. I can't, I'm not qualified to answer that, to be honest. Right. I'm not smart enough, but I don't know that anyone truly is. I think that's up to God.
And on that, there's arguments, right?
Right.
And there's arguments from both sides, and they make very compelling biblical arguments.
Yeah.
And to your point, like, at what point do we go, I'm not smart enough, or I'm not God, or at what point is it okay for you and me as pastor? Maybe this is a bigger conversation. At what point is it okay for you and me as pastors to go, I don't know?
Yeah.
And that's an acceptable answer, right? Like that you, we don't have to get down to the dogmatic, like, we are going to hang on this, and anybody who thinks differently is opposed or cut off, or sorry, I cut you off anyways.
No, I would disagree. I think, you know, we were joking earlier, like, I don't know. I'll ask Jesus when I get to heaven. Yeah. I don't know. That's where the answer is really going to come from. We can speculate all we want, but ultimately it's in God's hands.
Yeah.
What we do know is that special revelation to us through scriptures is the path to Jesus, or path to God, which is through Jesus Jesus himself coming. And that's what we know salvation is. And we got to cling to that. And who gets to go and who doesn't.
Yep. Man, well, and eternity is clear, right? Eternity is, there's a great white throne and there's a book of life. Like all those things are clear. The part I can't do is I'm not all knowing. Mm-hmm. I'm not omnipresent. I can't judge what happens. I can't judge what happens in Phoenix, let alone in a tribe in the middle of nowhere that I don't even know exists. Right.
Agreed. Yep. Good. Good. Well, you know, just starting off light for episode 40 here, you know, no biggie. Just wanted to get us
just
going
working
there.
Off that ice cream.
I know. Well, we're going to hop into the weekend though, because we do have some weekend to debrief here. Snapshots, walking through Exodus and looking at just little pieces of Exodus and what we can learn from that has been really cool. Excited for where God takes us. And I say that because you and I truly don't even know what the next couple weeks hold as we just look at Exodus and see what God brings out for what this is going to look like, which is super cool. But you began your message yesterday with a question that, man, I think we all should be asking ourselves. But just lean in a little bit more with this is the question you said is, what is God asking you to have courage with today?
Yeah.
And man, I just think that that's so like if we were all to ask that question and actually be aware of areas that God may be asking us to step in, I think it would change the way that we lived out our faith every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think, so I was listening to somebody and they were breaking down faith, trust, courage. And I really latched onto personally the idea of courage being measurable. And sometimes when we say faith, it's just this big lofty word versus courage is like, that's in my day right now. Right. And so with that, then just for me, the conviction that on a weekend, everybody in that room's got a step of courage to take.
Yeah.
And some are in the process of taking that. And we even reference that, right? Like the person that walks through the door that is super, like they're so scared of being in that building. Their thought is that God is already against me, and now I'm going to go to where God, like the courage to walk through the door is immense, right? But just the idea of if we could walk into our day, so people walk into their Mondays and go, what is God asking today? Yeah. What requires courage today? And it's simple stuff, right? Like it's not, I think sometimes we think it's God's asking me to go to a tribe in middle of nowhere, right? Versus it's dropping my kids off at school, right? Knowing that where they're going, yes, there are other believers there, but the conversations, I dropped my sixth grader off, or seventh grader. Man, they're growing too they're fast. Growing. But the reality is the conversations that she's surrounded by just by proxy that are hard. They're hard for her to hear. They're hard for her to process. They're hard for her. And yet on the way to school, what are we praying for? That she'll be a light, that she'll, God will provide a friend. So she's getting to walk by courage of God, that you'll provide a friend that maybe this year will be, I can build this faith journey together and we can really, you know, step forward into our teens and into high school.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, it's the getting out of the churchy language of by faith. And yet still it's the same concept. Like God's asking you to take courage, right?
Right.
Well, where my mind went immediately, and maybe it's just where I've been thinking. I read in a book this last week, this concept, this idea that you never have to sin. There's always another option, right?
Well,
when we find ourselves in temptation, it's always like, man, it was just too much or whatever. You never have to. There's never a forcing to sin. There's always another option. And when I heard this, what is God asking you to have courage with today? For me, it was like, man, with temptation.
Mm.
I never have to sin. There's always another option. But man, it's going to take courage for me to pursue the other option because it's always harder.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to fall into sin, but you don't have to. And the courage that I feel like, what I answered that question, it was like, I feel like God's telling me the courage is to not fall into sin.
Yeah.
And it's just that, again, it's a simple thing, but it's like, man, there's courage, AKA faith, that's needed multiple times a day for me to say no to what I want and yes to what God wants.
Yeah. And that's so practical, right? Like that's something you live out multiple times today, which now you're inviting God into multiple moments of, hey, you don't have to do this.
Yeah.
Right? Like there is another option. I think for me, like just an example on that side from last week, I found myself in a meeting where I can internally feel frustration. And I'm trying to be like real time honest with God in those moments to have the courage to go, like, instead of just stepping in and like pushing and like actually holding it and going, God, what is this? Why am I feeling this way? Am I feeling this way because you're calling me to fight? Or am I feeling this way because my own flesh wants to prove I'm right or whatever, right? Like, and so it's been this like courage to sit in the moment, but then courage to, hey, I'm going to surrender this one.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to not fight and because I'm not in a place to, and step away or just go, hey, I don't know. I think my view's skewed on this one.
Yeah.
And that's that real time, like walking through life going, is it going to be me and what I want, or is it what God wants and how he's playing that out?
Yeah, that's good. So the courage that Moses had to take here is a big one, right? Yeah. It's a huge one.
It's
and it leads him into a pretty difficult time and difficult situation. And so we talked about this, the process, man. We get into this process where, you know, stepping in with courage a lot of times leaves us in the middle of this process. And how do we stay faithful in that process? And what I mean is, a lot of times when we're in the process, it's easy to just give up, to just throw our hands up and go, man, I give up.
Yeah.
How do we, God's faithful through the process. How do we stay faithful in the process?
Yeah. That's a great follow-up question for sure. I think I'm not good at this. I'm trying to get better at it. But I think journaling what God has said, and what I mean by that is right now I'm trying to keep active prayer lists going. And I know other people are going to hear this and go, I've been doing that for years, right? But for me, I just have always prayed and just kind of celebrated when it's answered and you're on to the next thing. I'm actually trying to right now keep an active, where am I at in these prayers? Where is God answered? And making sure I celebrate what God has answered, because it bolsters the continuation, right? Like it encourages me to keep stepping forward by faith, right? So just this past weekend, I heard two miracle stories. Well, then when the person comes up to me and is asking, the next person that comes up is asking me to pray for healing, you better believe it. It's easy, right? Like, because it's built on reminding myself where I've seen God and what I've seen him do and what I, and so I think to stay faithful in the process, it's, you've got to remember first who God is, but then like, what has he called you to?
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I think for Moses, it's interesting. in those two chapters. So you got chapter 6 where God goes, I will, I will, I will. Mm-hmm. Chapter 7, I will, I will, I will. Right? Like it's almost like God's reminding him of what he's going to do. And that's the foundation that Moses gets to step forward into the, to experience the faithfulness of God, but also for him to be faithful in continuing when it gets hard. And I think another one is community. I love, we didn't get into it, but I love that God sent Aaron, and I know it was because Moses was like, I can't talk, right? Like, but I love that he sent him in community. And when you look at Jesus sending the disciples, it's in community. And I wonder how many people don't stay faithful because they try and walk it alone versus walking in community and someone else. So an example would be you share with me the courage, right? Like that your courage is in this moment to choose not to give into self, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or whatever it happens to be. Well, just by you, now we have a common, hey, how's the step of courage going, right? Like, how are you doing? Or I'm praying for you today, or whatever it happens to be. But I think too often we try and walk alone and it just doesn't, right. Just doesn't work.
Yeah, I would agree. And one of the things you said too, is as we go through this process, obviously as we stay faithful, through this, God is transforming us through the process.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes God's going to do what God's going to do. But I think sometimes we resist the transformation that God wants to do through the process. What would it look like for us to invite God to transform us through the process? Mm. Instead of just, you know, sometimes we're in it and it's like, but how do we remain open to or even ask God or invite God into the transforming us?
Yeah. I wonder, like, here's where my brain goes. Knowing the end goal. So if I was to ask you, hey, Todd, what would your life look like if Jesus was living your life? Hmm. Right? So in your family, in your workspace, in your, I don't think there's one of us that goes, I wouldn't want that. Right? And so I think knowing the end goal and then knowing who I am, the invitation for God is, I don't want to be this person in 10 years. Mm-hmm. Right? Like I want to be more giving. I want to be more loving. I want to be more selfless. Right? Like I don't want to still be fighting for identity when I'm 60 and Lord willing surrounded by grandkids, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't, that just doesn't sound appealing to me.
Right.
What sounds appealing is that I would be a man of humility who puts others first, who loves my wife deeply and honors her in everything I do. And so when I can see that end, what would it look like? But there's still that strength of Jesus and that, and the faithfulness of, you know, like, then I go, okay, God, inviting you in is giving you permission. Not that you need it, right? Like, he doesn't need it.
Yeah.
But it's almost like that permission is a surrender to go chisel away.
Like, yeah, I think the surrender piece is huge, because it's like, I think a lot of times we ask the wrong question of not where I'll be, but who I'll be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
look through the process. If the process is this difficulty that you're getting through, a lot of times we look at the external circumstance will be changed at the end of this process instead of who will I be when I get to the end of this process.
Oh, that's
and
good.
I think that when you open yourself up to God to go, God, make me who you want me to be. You want to teach me a lesson here. I struggle a lot of times in the middle of it to see what God's teaching. And it isn't until afterwards where I go, oh, that's what he was trying to teach. And what I'm trying to do right now is, even in the little things that are difficult, because every little difficulty is still a process, to go, okay, God, what are you teaching me? I want to identify the teaching moment now instead of having to get to the end and be like, man, if I would have just got that sooner, probably would have got through it better, you know?
Yeah. It's the humility to do that though, right? Like, it's the humility to not care about the where now, right? Like, I don't know, man, I turned 50 this year. I don't know if I'm just in this, like, if it's a healthy, like, self-reflection phase of whatever, or just looking back and going, I cared about so much stuff that just doesn't matter. I gave so much of my life towards things that were so temporary. And that doesn't mean like, well, now you got to be this like detached from everything. I don't mean that. I just mean like I would have sat here with you and told you how important this was. And now I look back and I go, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it took so much because when you look at it, it was either where I'm trying to get to or trying to gain something from.
Yeah.
Versus like this sweet, I feel like there's just a sweet surrender, and maybe it's sabbatical talking, but just a sweet surrender of like, I don't want to be this person in 10 years. And so that's going to require that the Lord does a lot between now and then. And kind of like you're saying, I look back on my journey, even at Heights, and it's been super, super difficult in seasons, but it had to be for God to get to where we are.
Right.
And that's a beauty too, right? So that you can embrace.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, super, super, just impactful weekend. I think that a lot of people left going, man, I'm going to have to just soak in this for a little bit and let God, you know, let it sit a little bit. Cause it was just so, so good. So much to unpack there and so much we can apply to our life, but we'll continue in snapshots this next weekend as well. And for a few more weekends, but next weekend specifically looking at more things that we see throughout this book of Exodus. We have another question that we're going to hop into though. Last question for today.
Last one,
but it's a
heavy one. I kind of did three though. We did two up top.
Even though it was one. Mm. Yeah, you're right. Okay, here we go.
Anthony double dipped, but we won't tell anybody.
Yeah, we won't tell anyone. You're allowed to do that, by the way. If you have a question that you'd like to ask us, and maybe it's two questions, go ahead, send those unedited@heightschurch.com.
Send them with a cookie on a stick.
There we go. Yeah, frozen cookie on a stick. We like that. Charlotte asks this. As Christians, we believe that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three in one. I know they have different characteristics, but could that lead some to believe they respond the same way? Because they're three in one. I recently read Matthew 12:32. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Question is this. Is this the unpardonable sin? In what ways do we speak against the Holy Spirit?
I feel like we talked about this on an episode. It was an episode we talked about the unpardonable sin.
It might have been.
Come. Not that that matters. I was just curious if my memory was.
I think, I don't know. Did we talk about it? I think I talked about it with a guest that we had, Pastor Scott.
Oh, that makes sense.
Pastor Scott Savage. And so I
listened to it.
So you listened to us talk about it. Yeah.
I wish I could remember what he said. Oh, man. It's interesting. I feel like the top part, you know, three and one, could that lead them to believe they respond the same way? Different characteristics. I mean, maybe. And I don't know if people do that. I've never heard of somebody like seeing the different characteristics, but they only respond the same way, right? Like I feel like the characteristics naturally lead to, like, they're never going to respond out of that character, right? Like it's always going to be inside the character. And the character and nature of God is obviously going to be the same because it's three in one. Anyways, but yeah, can I ask a different question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I do that?
It's unedited. Do what you want.
Why do we stress out about this one thing that is unpardonable?
Well, because I think it's that people are going, man, you got to stay extra far away from that one, right? If you fall into a 2-foot hole, it's different than if you fall into a bottomless pit, right? So it's like, I think people go, this is the one we got to stay away from. But I think that's a misunderstanding of grace.
Yeah.
And I think that's a misunderstanding of what this means. So I think first and foremost,
I don't want to project to Charlotte. So,
right.
So please don't.
But I think first and foremost, we have to understand grace, and there's grace for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll preach a whole sermon from a dunk tank because there's grace for that. That's all I think of grace, I just think of that. But the understanding of what this is then, allows us to understand that there's grace for that if you are accepting of that grace.
Yeah.
Right. So understanding what this is, this verse specifically in Matthew 12:32 is the Pharisees had just witnessed Jesus performing miracles. Right. So Jesus performed his miracles through the Spirit's power. Right? Yeah. That's where Jesus was able to perform his miracles. And all of a sudden, these Pharisees witnessing this are going, oh, that was the devil.
Yeah.
So they were taking
Beelzebub,
the power of the Beelzebub. Spirit through Jesus and saying, that was the devil. And what he's saying here is that that is blaspheming the Holy Spirit right there. It's not a word, right? It's not something that we can just fall into. Oh, we said this phrase or we said this word that blasphemed the Holy Spirit. It's like clearly choosing to call what is good evil and clearly choosing to reject what is good and what is God.
Yeah. It's a willful denial.
Correct.
Right? Like I see it, I hear it, I choose not to believe it's of God.
Yep.
And so obviously any work of God that we get to witness is going to be through the Holy Spirit. And so the denial of the work of the Holy Spirit, the denial of the drawing of the Holy Spirit, and I think I think a key kind of phrase is that I'm making a choice to.
Yep.
Because I think sometimes people are worried that, okay, like when I was, and this didn't happen in my life, but when I was 25, I was like, and we're unedited, so like cuss word God, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like whatever it happened to be, or I was in a bad phase of my life and I was really angry at God.
Right.
Right. I think sometimes people think that, or I took the Lord's name in vain is one I've heard for this over and over. Like, oh, use the Lord's name in vain. That's unpardonable. Right. Like what Jesus in the context, and it's in three different gospels, and the context is the same, and what Jesus is driving is the same, is here's a group of people who had seen a move of God, like you were saying, and they have chosen to willfully go and knowingly go, hey, we're going to claim this to be of Satan.
Yeah.
Right? Like
it's a settled stance against God.
Yeah.
You're settling into a stance. Ultimately, how you settle into something is you die without truly believing it.
Yeah.
So it's a rejection of the gospel is what it is. And it's ultimately dying in unbelief after resisting the Spirit and resisting the Spirit's call is blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And that's where in my life, so to that second question, like in what ways do we speak against the Holy Spirit? I think I grew up in a tradition that was very quick to question everything.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so if you heard of a healing, what were the circumstances around, you know what I mean? Like, it was so cynical. It was choosing not to believe before you believe until it could be proven. Right. Versus I feel like what God's done as I've gotten older is gone, man, who am I to judge? I'm going to listen to it and I'm going to hold it loosely. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be the end of this is of God or this is of, right. Like, clearly, if it's evil, it's evil. But I'm talking about like this is claimed to be a work of God.
Correct.
And so I just think being careful to not be cynical and not be sitting ready to reject something, but being, hey, before the Lord, like Holy Spirit, you've got to, I'm going to sit with you and let you reveal, but I'm going to choose not to. If I don't know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be okay going, I don't know. I don't have any idea, but I'm not going to reject that the Holy Spirit's doing something. And if it's evil, it's evil. You call it out.
So, yeah.
It's interesting. So just jumping back to the original question, as you were answering, the picture came to mind. Do you remember how the Pharisees would build fences? So here was the actual law. And they would build like this law to keep you. Because if you broke that law, you hadn't actually broken the actual, you know. And this kind of feels that way. Like, as you were saying, like, well, if it's a 2-foot hole or the hole, like help me build fences so that I don't get close to the hole, right? Right. Like, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Charlotte, hopefully that answers that question there.
Great question.
Great question. Thank you so much for submitting that.
Solid.
Really good stuff today. If you have a question that you're going, we would love for you to answer on the show. Guess what? We would love to answer it on the show. So submit it unedited at heightschurch.com.
Do you have any questions right now?
Well, no, it's what the people are going to ask this week.
Okay.
I'm trusting in that they are going to send questions for us for next week. But if you've made it this far, you've made it to the end of the podcast club.
Bam, 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 bam.
And today at the end of the podcast club, we are revealing something that we've been asking for a long
time.
We've been talking about merch since week two, maybe?
No.
Week three?
It happened.
And right now, as the beard is fumbling around.
Frozen Oreos on a stick and merch.
This is it. This
Let's
is it, man.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
How good is that? Show it to it there.
Oh, it's so good.
In a ceramic cup.
In a ceramic cup. You need me to hold it more or no?
Coke, a little closer back to you so we can get the... So it's in focus there. Look at that. That is ceramic. I mean, come on. Give them the little.
Yeah, it's ceramic. It's
a good
break.
One. There we go.
It'll break.
And so we are going to, we do.
And the hits keep coming.
And look what we got here.
Let's go.
This glass here with the unedited.
It's got the official right bald here. Eagle.
So.
Is that like a trademark violation?
It could be. Look at that. This matches. This is incredible.
You should go.
This is.
You got to go to Target.
Just walk it in like this. Oh, that's good.
You got to do that.
Okay,
please.
For those of you who are listening and not viewing right now, we have a coffee type mug over here that is.
Yeah, you can drink coffee. This is amazing.
It's handwritten by John and is the unedited merch that he made one day that we got made here.
I would have made it a little better if I knew you were actually going to.
And then we got a glass here.
Do a little something. Let's get rid of that guy. That
with,
guy's out of here.
Bald Eagle Target name tag and the unedited
Look at what's
here.
Happening right now.
And then we got other merch we're rolling out here. This merch, just so you guys know, everybody who is viewing or listening right now, this is stuff that you can purchase. We will let you know where you can purchase it because we haven't even discussed that yet.
We got another bald eagle.
Oh my goodness. The bald eagle mug.
I might have to buy a bald eagle mug. I'm not gonna lie.
Wow, we might get these quick, folks. These might sell out real fast. Wow. We got bald eagle mugs right now.
Why are you holding
right
the bald eagle one saying it's going to sell out fast?
Well, because, you know, we got some good stuff, we're going to sell this. We're going to give.
Dude, we got blue and purple.
Wow.
Camo, green and blue.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do.
Handwritten.
Let me tell the people here
Are we going to do, like, which one you like best?
Well, no. We're going to have an opportunity to be able to buy these, but we're not sure when. You're going to have to tune in next week. We'll let you know when and where you can buy these. But this week, we are going to be doing a giveaway on social media. So it's like a, you know, share this type of thing to enter in, and we will draw a name on next week's show, and you get to pick one of these that you will win. And so we'll do that next week.
How sad if you didn't make it to the end of the pod club, you don't know about this.
Yeah, but this is an exclusive club.
This is just for the
just for those people. You know, that's it right now. But man, good stuff.
Okay, so hang on. So what are we doing with the socials? Is that this week or next week?
Keep your eye out this week.
Something's going on IG.
Yep, something's going on Instagram. If you don't have Instagram, we love you, but I think that's pretty much all we can figure out how to do. So we're going to do that this week. And then we will draw names on the show next week for who gets to pick one free item.
Can I do another one?
These will also still be able to be purchased.
Yeah,
though.
You can still purchase one of them. Can we do another giveaway?
What you got for us?
The best 5-star review.
Okay.
This week.
Okay,
so not in history, just this week. You leave a 5-star review, we'll vote on here which one we like the best.
We're going to vote, or are we just going to draw names from anyone who does a 5-star?
Oh, what do you think, Beard?
What do we think? I think we draw names.
I want to pick it. Let's leave some people out. Let's make them feel better.
Wow. True feelings coming on unedited here, folks.
We'll draw. So
there we go.
So you got IG.
Instagram. Yep.
Okay. And then you got 5-star review.
5-star review.
Which has to be on Apple.
Apple Podcasts. Yep.
So go to Apple Podcasts, 5-star review.
If you don't do that or don't know how,
that gets you a draw.
Talk to someone younger than you and they can help you with it.
IG, what do they have to do on IG? We're going to show
you'll
them when
it.
They get
you'll
there.
You'll see it. Yep. Okay. You'll see it. All right.
Sweet.
There we go. Good stuff. Good stuff. Excited. Now we got to, once we're done recording, we got to talk about how we're actually going to do this. So that's good.
Dude, but amazing.
Here we go. Final thought for you guys today is that sometimes when we step out in courage, we find ourselves in a place that is difficult. It's hard, but it's a process. And when we're in the process, God is faithful. We also need to remain faithful to God in the process because that's when he wants to transform us through the process. I hope you guys have an amazing week. Love you guys. And we'll see you next week.
Love you.